The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to the chief priests and the elders of the people, "Hear another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard, put a hedge around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a tower. Then he leased it to tenants and went on a journey. When vintage time drew near, he sent his servants to the tenants to obtain his produce. But the tenants seized the servants, and one they beat, another they killed, and a third they stoned. Again he sent other servants, more numerous than the first ones, but they treated them in the same way. Finally he sent his son to them, thinking, 'They will respect my son.' But when the tenants saw the son, they said to one another, 'This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and acquire his inheritance.' They seized him, threw him out of the vineyard, and killed him. What will the owner of the vineyard do to those tenants when he comes?" They answered him, "He will put those wretched men to a wretched death and lease his vineyard to other tenants who will give him the produce at the proper times." Jesus said to them, "Did you never read in the scriptures? The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. By the Lord has this been done, and it is wonderful in our eyes. Therefore I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people that will produce its fruit." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
In one of my earliest childhood memories, I must have been just 3 years old, because I was alone with my mother running errands in town in Lafayette. My brother must have been in kindergarten. My younger brother and sister must have not been born yet. We were at the post office, and we did what we needed to do. I was completely unaware of what Mom was doing. But as we walked out, something caught my attention as we walked out the door. I don't know if it was a car or people walking in, or a squirrel, but I don't know, but I remember once I realized that I was distracted, I started heading to the car and reached out and grabbed a hold of my mom's hand as she walked towards the car, and then she stopped, and I stopped. She looked down at me, I looked up at her, it was not my mom. It's a 50-year-old man. I was terrified. He was friendly enough and realized that this kid is confused right now. Luckily, my mom wasn't far away, and after some gentle and well-deserved scolding, she consoled me as a mother would. I'd like to think I handled it like a champ, but I'm sure there were some tears involved. I've had more dramatic and serious moments of fear in my life since then, some that are less humorous. And let's be honest, so have you. All of us have had scary moments in our lives, or times we are gripped by fear and or anxiety. It's a human emotion that is a common experience for all. And the question is, can we eliminate it, or how do we keep it at bay? The truth is, and this is true of all emotions, if you feed it, it will grow. And oftentimes in our day and age, we don't look for reasons to feed those emotions, but we do. And to be honest, one of the scariest realities that we'll ever experience in our life is the scary idea that we're alone. That's why I think that our times are some of the more scary for others, because of our isolation, our social distancing and such. Anxiety and fear have skyrocketed because of it. And it makes sense of why we're scared of being alone, because we were made for communion. Communion with God and communion with His holy church. It's not a coincidence that C.S. Lewis describes hell in his book, The Great Divorce, as a very dreary and ugly town where people are constantly moving further and further away from each other. So to be alone is a little taste of that hell. After all, what's the worst punishment we can give someone? Solitary confinement. We're not made to be alone. And here's the key. We're not. Our Lord Jesus told us, "I will not leave you orphans." Of course, he was referring to the gift of the Holy Spirit. But here's something else he was promising us. He would give us a mother. A mother we could hold her hand and remember we're not alone. This month of October is the month of the Holy Rosary, among other things. And it is described as one of the most powerful prayers the church has. But maybe something we don't talk enough about is the resulting grace and peace which comes with spending time with our Blessed Mother. It is a Marian devotion. Certainly the focus is on her intercession, but the whole time she's redirecting our attention to Christ our Lord, who has conquered sin, conquered death, and in a way conquered isolation. I think so many times in our lives, we forget. We get distracted, willingly or unwillingly, and all of a sudden we've lost sight of our mom. I think it's high time that we say we need to make time for the Holy Rosary. And if you're sitting there thinking to yourself, "I don't have time," I'm not going to invite you to do it now, but go ahead after Mass and check your screen time on your phone. We've got time. And the more we spend on this thing, the more we're distracted and forget where our Blessed Mother is, where our Lord is. That comes to mind because Father Sean and I just sat down and watched The Social Dilemma, a show on Netflix, telling us of the effects of anxiety and fear caused by our usage of phone and addiction to all those social media apps. So we can't say we don't have time. We're actually causing and feeding the fear and anxiety that has already gripped us. The craziness of work, the politics, the problems in the church, I'm not telling you to ignore it. It's possible to see it and still retain interior peace. That's the thing. We Christians are not called to be just eternal optimists. This kind of fad of just constantly speaking of positivity isn't in some ways realistic because there is real evil in the world. But let's remember St. Paul, who writes in the second reading of the Philippians about that peace which is beyond our comprehension, which only comes from God. He's writing that from prison. He knows evil. He knows isolation. And yet he still has the peace of Christ that is beyond comprehension. It reminds me of another great saint that actually our school children are learning about this month. They're approaching the virtue of studiousness. But their example was St. Edith Stein, a 20th century Jewish woman who became an atheist and eventually came into the church, became a Carmelite nun. And the Nazis captured her and took her to Auschwitz where she was executed. But eyewitnesses, including soldiers, saw her get off the train at the concentration camp. And meanwhile, while everyone else was literally pulling out their hair, she was serene and was taking care of the other people. And she stood out, of course, because she was still in full Carmelite habit. But she stood out because she had a peace which was beyond all understanding. Can you not think about that brilliant light that we could shine in this dark and isolated world if we bring the peace of Christ into the craziness out there? Where are we going to get it? By holding the hand of our Blessed Mother. By daily reciting the rosary. It's not just an endless recitation of Hail Marys. There's 53 of them, I know. But it's a meditation on the life of Christ. And it's a recollection of His presence with us and among us. That's the weapon. I will tell you another childhood memory of Father Hahn. It is a little bit later in my life. It's in my junior high and high school days. My mother and father said, at least once a week, we're going to pray the name of the rosary. That was the first step in their efforts, and we chose Sunday nights. Teenage Father Han was not pleased at this choice. Usually it was Sunday nights. We'd have to turn off Sunday night football. That didn't go over well. And in the end, it was probably 9 o'clock at night, and my eyelids would get heavy. But boy, am I thankful that my mom and dad made that bold choice to lead us in the rosary and teach us the mysteries. It gave me a peace in my own discernment of which college I would go to, and ultimately my discernment in the priesthood. The rosary has been by my side ever since. Our prayer is that we focus our minds, as St. Paul says, on whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious. If there is any excellence and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Then the peace of God will be with you. That's what our Lord wants from us, and that's a part of our witness. And our Blessed Mother is by our side, giving us every confidence that we are not alone.